You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right to the phone lines now. Kevin, listening in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay, I have a question, and I want to be very careful how I state it out, because I don't want to upset anybody, or, you know, I want to be respectful to everybody. But I have some neighbors. They just moved here from a different state. I knew them when they were in that state also. We were friends. We were the same religion. We went to a Pentecostal church. They moved here, and in that time, they converted over to Messianic Jews. Now, I know that some of that religion, I believe it's Christian, but what I believe, there's parts of it in some other small churches that don't make go to the bigger congregation, and that probably are teaching falsely. But what I'm having a trouble with is that I'm constantly being attacked, not me personally, because they don't have courage to come and talk to me, but they attack my wife daily. And the way they attack her, well, you should do this. I think you guys should switch over and you should hold a Sabbath. You should do this. You should do that. And it's getting to a point where I can't stand it anymore. And I want to approach them. I want to tell them about it. And what I told them is I believe they're stuck in a cult from what it looks like. It's not a religion, what they're doing. Because on Saturday, they're not allowed to do anything. But on Sunday, they call us and, oh, don't you guys want to come over here? Don't you want to do that? And they know that we go to church all the time. We respect theirs, but they never respect our side of the equation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And what you're communicating actually was dealt with in an article in the Christian Research Journal, which I'll get out to you. But Messianic Judaism has a wide spectrum, which is to say there are mainstream Messianic Jewish congregations, but there are also cultic Messianic Jewish congregations. So they, again, fall in a continuum. And the cultic ones, they are stressing all the wrong things. In other words, you have to go back to the types and shadows which are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, including the Sabbath. So you have to go back to Sabbath worship and all the civil and ceremonial laws surrounding it in an Old Testament theocratic system. So again, this runs the spectrum, and it sounds like this particular couple or these former acquaintances of yours that are harassing your wife are in the cultic fringe of Messianic Judaism. But the article that we have in the Christian Research Journal, I think, would be extraordinarily helpful so that you can use their deviations as springboards or opportunities for sharing the gospel. And I think that's really what needs to happen here. You need to recognize that God has placed you in a situation to make a difference. So don't look at it as harassment, but look at it as an opportunity to reach people who have fallen into a trap.
Yes, that's exactly how I look at it. And I explained, and this week, actually, I made I said I couldn't take it anymore, because I wanted to respect them. And in the beginning, I wanted to say exactly what it was about. And now that I understand, because the minute they come to me and they say, well, you can eat pork, they also have all different kind of, they're American, pure American. Now they have those little hats and they have the thing hanging from their pants, on the side of the pants like the Jewish people have. and they're trying to act like they were born Jewish, and now they're looking back in the ancestry, and they're trying to say that somewhere farther along, 20 generations down, they were Jewish. Somehow.
Yeah, they've fallen off the deep end for sure. And of course, as we know, in Christ, it's not a matter of ethnicity. It's not a matter of genealogy or tracing your genealogy, because it really doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Greek, whether you're male or female. In the Old Testament sense, someone who is a servant or someone who is free. No, rather, we are the seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise because we are in Jesus Christ. So it's never a matter of race. It's always a matter of relationship. Hang on, we can send you the article. Want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Will next, listening in Springfield, Missouri. Hi, Will.
Hello, Hank. I have a question for you. I'd like to know if the earth is thousands of years old or billions.
Well, the answer to that question, of course, is found by looking at the Word of God. There we see His eternal power, divine nature, being clearly understood by that which has been made so that we are without excuse. So as Christians, we are to look at the world around us, and that gives us some answers to the questions with respect to the age of the earth as well as the age of the universe. But I think it's improper to ask that question of the biblical text, because I don't find that the biblical text gives us an answer to the question of age. And I think that the problem has been that a lot of Christians are so desperate to find an answer there that they are embracing Harold Camping-like mythologies. So you see all this stuff on the internet. I was appalled when I did some research on this. It was a Saturday. I came in early, and 16 hours later, I was pulling my hair out, and I don't have that much hair to pull out anymore. You see this mythology on the web about a T-Rex bone, unfossilized, found. And there's hemoglobin and red blood cell evident, and as a result of that, we know T-Rex walked at the same time as man. Now, whether T-Rex did or did not is one issue. The other issue, of course, is this a myth being circulated, an urban legend that Christians are circulating in the name of truth, or is it really true? Turns out it's just an urban legend. It's mythology being spread by people who should know better. And this is one of the problems in modern-day evangelicalism. We are spreading urban legends when we are the ones that say we stand for the one who says He's the way, the truth, and He's the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. I think that we do well to look at things like the speed of light or star life, or sequential layers in the formation of ice cores in places such as Antarctica and Greenland in order to answer the question of age.
Okay. So then the genealogies in Genesis are not to be taken as a direct genealogy from father to son, or?
Well, that's a different question. First of all, the one thing we know for certain, anyone that's taken a little time in reading Genesis and understanding its literary prowess and the masterpiece that it is, recognizes that the genealogies are not sequential. You can remember them. You remember all the highlights with your 10 fingers. That's how the mosaic, to use a pun, is laid out. But they're not sequential. But it's still a different question, because no one doubts that the advent of Adam and Eve was very recent in history. Even the evolutionist will concede that point. Now, they won't go back only 6,000 years, but relatively recent in the history of Earth or the history of the universe is the advent of the first man and the first woman. So that's a completely different question.
I would disagree with that. I think it's the same question.
Why is it the same question?
Well, because God created the earth, and He created Adam and Eve in the same week.
Well, how do you know that?
Because it says so in Genesis.
Well, Okay, but you have to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. When you read that God tips over the water pots of heaven, does that give you some kind of information on how rain is produced? I mean, if we start reading the Bible in the sense in which it is intended, I think we're going to come up with a literary masterpiece, but if we don't, we're going to come up with Harold Camping type prognostications on when the rapture is going to take place. We need to learn how to read the Bible for all it's worth. So I appreciate your question very much. My real passion is to read the Bible literally. In other words, to recognize that it is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation and that it is literature, inspired literature. We should read it as such.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible answer book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And just a couple of comments. I couldn't tell whether the last caller was a old Earth creationist or a young Earth creationist. I can only guess. But the problem in either case is that the 7 days of creation are taken and either rendered as literal 24-hour days or day ages. And I think that if the caller was a progressive creationist, like a young Earth counterpart, he would face significant challenges from both science and scripture. The unbridled quest to find maximal harmony between science and scripture has left all kinds of forced interpretations of both. On the one hand, scripture is harmonized with science through the contention that the sun and stars were created prior to day one, rather than on day four. On the other, science is harmonized with scripture through a strained explanation which allows vegetation to thrive during a geological age in which there's no direct sunlight. In order to harmonize scripture with modern science, old Earth creationists repudiate the moral significance of natural evil. As such, they ascribe all morally meaningful evil to that which takes place after the initial human sin. Though progressive creationists have acknowledged that animals manifest attributes of mind and will and emotions and are uniquely endowed with the capacity to form relationships with each other and with humans, the horrors of suffering, death, and extinction are then said to be part and parcel of God's very good creation. From a progressive creationist perspective, even Eden was not immune to the havoc of animal death and infection and natural catastrophe. Eve herself suffered the ravages of pain, which only increased, they say, as a result of her sin. Look, to put it bluntly, there never was a perfect paradise. Worse yet, in their view, there is not only not a perfect paradise, but God is implicated in using disease and decay and destruction and even death, which they often dub random, wasteful inefficiencies, as the means by which to bring about a very good world in which Eve experienced pain. The difficulty with all of this, which is made throughout old Earth creationist literature, is that natural evil becomes simply a tool for furthering God's ends rather than a consequence of human sin. So old Earth creationism that looks at the week of creation quite literally and says these are literal day ages ends up opening God to the charge of inflicting pain to advance a divine agenda. And the reality is this, there is simply no need for far-fetched special pleading. A proper reading of the book of nature reveals natural evil before Adam. Likewise, a proper reading of sacred scripture reveals an infinite God who redeems humankind by acting across time. Just as the effects of the cross are retroactive, so too the effects of the fall are retroactive. So there are problems with both the young Earth creationist view and the old Earth creationist view. And I think beyond that, a real problem in that as Christians, we have neglected to recognize the stupendous beauty of the Genesis account of creation. The more you memorize Genesis, the more you read through Genesis, the more you see divine fingerprints all over it. Of course, if you don't know how to read literature for all it's worth, it ends up becoming an absurdity. And you have the Bart Ehrmans of the world making fun of the Genesis account of creation because they see a contradiction between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. But this is either fundamentalism from the left or fundamentalism from the right. It's time we learn to read the Bible for all it's worth. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to John listening in Jackson, Tennessee. Hi, John.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My main question was, there's a few churches in my area that I know are King James only, and putting signs up to push King James onlyism, and I just wondered what your view on that was.
Well, again, another abomination, isn't it? Because the problem here is that the KJV-only people want to take the KJV and make it an autographa, make it the original. It came down from Mount Sinai hot off the plates, which is simply untrue. The autographa is housed within the textual evidence that God has supernaturally preserved for us, such that through the tenacity of the text, the autograph emerges. You can compare text with text and be absolutely certain that what we have in our modern day Bibles is correct. But we have an advantage that King James I didn't have, which is when he first demanded this translation in 1604, completed in 1611, there wasn't the kind of textual evidence that we have today. And so our understanding of the ancient languages has improved. Language has gone through a transition. And we have newer and better manuscripts. You ask a KJV-only guy, what does it mean where Paul says in Acts, from thence we fetched a compass? I've tried it. They have nary a clue. It means from there we circled around. Or ask him what the original KJV meant in Psalm 4. How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? This doesn't have anything to do with leasing an apartment. Leasing meant falsehood, and the newer versions so render the text. Or where Jesus says in Matthew 19, suffer little children to come unto me. What in the world does that mean, suffer? Well, happens to mean let the children come unto me. And you can go on and look at the renderings in the original KJV. They make little sense to us today. And so what the modern translators do is they take that which is connotative, that which has taken on the barnacles of time, and make it denotative again. Not only so, you have to ask the KJV-only person, which KJV are you talking about? Are you talking about the one that says in Matthew 26, then cometh Judith, when it should read, then cometh Jesus? Or the seventh commandment that read, thou shalt commit adultery, instead of thou shalt not commit adultery? Or the one that has in Luke 20, Philip denying Jesus rather than Peter denying Jesus? Which, 1611, KJV are you talking about? Because the KJV went through some transitions in 1611. Is the KJV a wonderful translation? Yes. Is it one that withstood the test of time for 400 years? Yes. Is it one in which we can find the authoritative word of God? Yes. But is it infallible? No. In fact, no Christian claims infallibility for the translations. We claim infallibility for the autograph, and the beauty is the autograph is not under glass at the Vatican. The autographa is housed within the textual evidence itself. So through the science of textual criticism, the autograph emerges. You can't think of a more brilliant way to preserve the Word of God than that, and of course, that's our God. That's one of the reasons you can have such great trust in the Bibles we have today. They are taking our understanding of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek and applying it such that we now know that Pim has a meaning that is altogether different from the meaning ascribed by the KJV authors. Archaeology came to the rescue. We are in a very privileged position. Now, did the KJV compromise anything when it came to faith and practice? No. But was it an autograph? The answer is also no. It was not an autograph. It is a translation. And we now just have better textual evidence, and so some of the minor difficulties with the KJV have been reversed. And I guess that's the theme of the show today. There's a lot of misinformation circulating around the world today, and as Christians, we need to be lovers of truth. We're on the air because truth matters. If you love the Ring of Truth, stand for a ministry that'll never compromise. It's all about truth. You can check us out on the web at equip.org. We'll see you right back here next week with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.